This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am totally delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. My goodness sakes. Here we are, beginning a new week in the Lord, and it's a very busy week. I'm sure many of you have plans coming up for July the 4th, and I do want to remind you to be careful out there, right? To thank God for the great gift of independence that we have. To ask him how he wants to use you in a very specific way, to be one who upholds the liberties that are ours, to be one who is willing to fight for those beautiful, beautiful rights that we have as Americans, and to do all that we can to pray for the dignity and the value of each and every human person. So lots that is right here immediately on our tables for this week, and I know that God has other things in mind for you too. We always want to keep our minds open, our hearts open, our ears open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit that we might follow in the way in which he is leading us. Certainly do hope that he's leading you to pick up the phone and give us a call today. All of your questions, all of your comments, all of your insights, inspirations, words of encouragement, immediately welcome here. Whatever's going on in your world is important to us, and we know that God has a message in it for you, a teaching in it for you, that he's got a plan for it, you in the midst of it all. Do give us a call here. Let's see if we can maybe begin to figure that out together by the guidance of the one who we know as the Holy Spirit. Here is the toll-free number to use if you are in the United States of America or in Canada, 833-288-EWTN. That's right. The toll-free number for North America is 833-288-3986. We invite you to call early. Sometimes you call late. When you call late, we can't get to you, so we want to make sure that you get your chance on the air. So do pick up the phone, give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. Always invite you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're available for you there. I'm giving you a hearty wave this morning and a smile. We love joining you via this beautiful gift of technology that we have in our day and time. So get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Facebook page. Matt Gabensky on our phones today, our call screener extraordinaire, and we've got Jeff Burson out there on social media. He's also producing the show for us today. Do want to give you some good news too. I want to let you know that we are in full gear for this upcoming Women of Grace retreat taking place at Malvern Retreat House outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, coming up sooner than we can believe. I'm telling you, turn around twice and it's going to be here. Yep, it starts with the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar, and that begins on July the 12th, and it runs through midday. Well, I would say a little later than that, mid-afternoon, really, on the 13th of July, which is the Friday. And this is going to be a marvelous, marvelous opportunity for you ladies to come together. Keep telling you that we're approaching that that top number, and we're closer now than we were the last time I mentioned this to you. So we don't want for you to be shut out. We're inviting you to give us a call and to register. You can register out there on our website too, womenofgrace.com, womenofgrace.com. All of the info is there for you. As a matter of fact, I have the webpage up right now. I'm looking at it, and I'm focusing on the retreat page because I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. But if you want to get started early, Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar available to you beginning again on July the 12th, which is the Thursday, a week from this coming Thursday. And you know what? It gets started early in the morning, so plan to be there, 9 a.m., bright and shiny. We get going. We sure do, and we run through the early evening on that Thursday. We get started again early on Friday morning, and we run until about 3 in the afternoon. A workshop feel is part of the dynamic of the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar. We want to train you in what it is that we're talking about, so we certainly do offer you that opportunity. Kathleen Beckman is our presenter. Now, for the retreat, which begins with Mass at 4:45 in the afternoon. Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the homily is, in a sense, part of the gift of the talks that will be given. Father Philip Scott will be the presider at that Mass, and he will also be giving us his first talk at that Mass, 4:45 p.m. Then we have dinner. We love to eat on these weekends, I'm just saying. We have dinner at 6, and then the first talk starts that evening at 7:15. I'll be giving that first talk. The Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit and the Glorious Age to Come. Oh, my goodness, it's so exciting. God has so much in mind for us. We continue through Saturday, and we feature our Young Women of Grace Retreat in the Family Life Center from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. On that day. So we'll break the young ladies out, and they'll go to the Family Life Center, and their track begins. But we've got all kinds of great speakers. We've got Kathleen Beckman talking about smiting the head of the serpent, Mary and the Holy Spirit. We've got Tom Sullivan. He's going to be talking about embracing the Holy Duet on the battlefield of life. We're going to have confessions available for you. We're going to have a time for personal reflection and fellowship. We're going to have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We're going to have the fourth talk for you there. Is it talk four? It sure is. Mary and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Duet and Conversion by Jack Williams, my husband. Yay! And then we're going to have facilitator training. We're going to have talk five, the Holy Duet and Healing. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to have a healing service. All kinds of marvelous things coming your way right there at the Malvern Retreat House. The weekend beginning July 13th through the 15th for the retreat itself, preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar for you, beginning on that Thursday. Certainly inviting you to get out there, take a look at the schedule, see what God has in mind for you. Don't delay. I keep telling you, don't delay. We're into the final 2 weeks here, and you know, Catholics are great procrastinators. I'm just saying. So it fills up, and it's going to get full. We are on the cusp of fullness right now. So we certainly do invite you take advantage of the opportunity while the opportunity still exists for you to take advantage of, right? That's the way it's got to go. We're inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. That converts to 833-288-3986, toll free for you here in North America. Available to you out there on social media, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is there for you. And you can also join us if you're outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's the way you join us, country code 1-205-271-2985. Looking forward to hearing from you right here on Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We're going to go to a break. We're going to be right back with you. Woohoo! Stay tuned. July 1st. In 1 Corinthians, we read, "To shame the strong, God chose the weak. He chose those whom the world considers common and contemptible, those who were nothing at all, to humble those who were everything, so that no one might boast in his presence." Let us reflect. In what ways has God used my weakness to be an instrument of light for others? In what way has he used my weakness to bring me into a deeper relationship with him? Am I willing to praise God for my weakness and then offer it to him that he might fortify it with his strength and thereby heal me?
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Johnette Benkovic-Williams, inviting you to join me and women from around the country for a weekend of formation, fellowship, and fun at our annual Women of Grace Retreat at the breathtaking Malvern Retreat House during the weekend of July 13th through 15th. Our theme is Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, and features fabulous speakers, Kathleen Beckman, Father Philip Scott, Jack Williams, Thomas K. Sullivan, and yours truly. The retreat includes Mass, Adoration, Confession, Talks, reflection times, a healing service, and some special surprises. It is preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar entitled Women, God's Special Weapon Against Evil with Kathleen Beckman, Susan Brinkman, and Father Philip. We are thrilled to offer you our very first Young Women of Grace one-day retreat on Saturday, July 14th. See you there. Visit womenofgrace.com for details or call 800-558-5452.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Going to give you those numbers again. We've got Matt Gabensky out there waiting to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That is the toll-free number to use here in North America. It's 833-288-3986. I've been reading a book, and this book is a lovely little book. It's written by one of my favorite authors, Father Emil Neubert, N-E-U-B-E-R-T. I mention him frequently here on the air, and I'm guessing that you're becoming familiar with him too, if it's only through the very things that I have to say about him. But fact of the matter is, there are books available for you out there that you can get that he's written. And this one is an old book. It's called The Soul of Jesus. They're all old because Father Neubert has gone on to his eternal reward quite some time ago. But he was a leading Mariologist of the 20th century. And I suppose that this is why I'm attracted to him, because I love Our Lady so much. And of course, you know, our goal as women is in some way to allow the Marian character, you know, to so influence us that we become mini Marys in the world today. I mean, that is the call. I don't know if we're aware of that, but it is the call. And God is looking to us to do great things in this world. And he doesn't intend for us to do them through our own efforts or by our own means. That would never be possible. But we can do them. We can do them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and by the power of God operative in us via the intercession and maternal beatitude of our Blessed Lady. And this is a whole new way of looking at your life. It's a whole new way of looking at the world. It's a whole new way of looking at mission and what we're about. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to remind myself that the weight of the world is not on Johnette Williams' shoulders, right? The weight of the world is in the hands of God. But God does want to use Johnette Williams, and he wants to use you too in some way to affect that which he desires to be done. And, you know, this concept, this reality, once we invest ourselves in it, and we invest ourselves in it by taking ownership of it and saying, yes, you know what, these are not platitudinous ideals. These are the facts. I recently received an email from someone who was really upset, and they were upset because there was a topic that we hadn't discussed on Women of Grace Television, and it actually had to do with the scandal with regard to priests abusing children. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, we understand this tremendous scourge, right? And we as church have looked at this. But this particular individual was not satisfied with all that's been done to assuage these things in recent times, nor all of the things that have been communicated through Holy Mother Church and obviously through the programming that's offered through EWTN. She really just wanted to excoriate somebody and kind of in some way lay it all at one person's feet. And I suppose that that was us at that moment. It was our program. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, yes, indeed, there are atrocities that happen in this world. And some of them are caused by those whom we would consider to be, if you will, icons or paragons of how it is that we're supposed to live. And it's always easy to point our finger at others, right? But not often easy to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, to what extent am I living out the gospel message? To what extent have I really sold out to it? To what extent have I really given myself over to it? Now, you might be sitting there and saying, yeah, but I've certainly never done anything like that. Well, that, yes, praise be to God. But what way have we communicated the love of Christ in difficult situations? To what extent have we died to self in those situations? To what extent have we allowed ourselves to, in moments of failure, to grow from those situations? And to what extent have we given people permission to grow from their failures? To what extent have we given people permission to grow from their weaknesses? To what extent have we given people permission to grow from their sins? Or do we over and over again hold them accountable for them as if God had no mercy? Should we be less merciful than God? I don't think so. And in this book, The Soul of Jesus, by Father Neubert, he makes the statement here that St. Paul reminds us that we are to be another Christ. Remember St. Paul's great exclamation, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me." A very good examination of conscience is to ask the question, to what extent does Jesus really live in me? To what extent can he be seen through me? Of course, we look to our Blessed Lady because our Blessed Lady was molded completely to our Son, to her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He took up residence within her, and I was thinking it's not so much that she imitated him. In a certain sense, you know, she, and Cardinal Ratzinger writes this about her, she gave everything over. She was a field, and she gave everything over to the seed that was growing within her. And so we look at Mary and we see Jesus. We look at Jesus, we see his mother. It was his, you know, it was God's providential decision that Mary would be the one who would lend to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, or better stated, clothe the second person of the Blessed Trinity with her own flesh. So how could we not see Mary when we look at Jesus? But in this book, what Father Neubert does is he talks with us about these dispositions of the Lord that we are called to emulate, that we are called to give ourselves over to, that we would ask the Holy Spirit and the saints in heaven, and especially our Blessed Lady, to begin this process of working out in us. And here are the ones that are given. And I just, you know, I'm going to give you this just by way of a bit of introspection, matter for introspection. Father Neubert writes, "Living the life of Christ demands, according to St. Paul, reproducing all the perfections of Christ. Each of our dispositions must be molded on the corresponding disposition of Christ. Mortification is the first. Purity is the second. Obedience and humility is the third. The spirit of poverty is the fourth. The special practice of charity in Christ is the fifth. The sixth is fraternal union. The seventh, forgetfulness of self for the sake of others. And the seventh, no scandal to others. Providing no scandal to others. And eight, forgiveness of injuries." That's a good list, isn't it? I think it's a great list. And I spent a little time with the Blessed Sacrament today thinking about these things. You know, doing an evaluation. And I can see in them those areas where I need to work. And I'm wondering if you can see those areas in these where you need to work too. And it's always been my experience that when the Holy Spirit is revealing something that needs to be overcome, maybe an area that needs to be fortified or strengthened, an area of weakness that needs to be built up, or a sin that needs to be purged, he's going to give plenty of opportunities for that to take place. So listen again, and I'd be very curious to see if the Lord in some way through the Holy Spirit hasn't been showing you this area in some way. And we'd love to talk about it right here. Here they go again. Are you ready? Here we go. The first one is mortification. How well do we sacrifice? You know, what are we doing? Two, purity. Three, obedience and humility. When was the last time you know, perhaps you acted pridefully or arrogantly or with an elitist attitude, so much so that maybe you even say, I'm never arrogant. I'm never prideful. I never act with an elitist attitude. Yikes. 4, the spirit of poverty. 5, the special practice of charity in Christ. Have you been called to a particularly difficult moment in time to show love? 6, fraternal union. The idea here being to be of one mind and one heart. We had a caller the other day, last week, who was talking about the discord within her own parish and how difficult that was to live. And what was God saying? Should she and her husband remain in that parish or should they leave? Is it possible that this is an opportunity for fraternal union? Forgetfulness of self for the sake of others. Does God ask you sometimes to put your agenda aside, your plans, for the sake of another? And do you do it willingly? Sometimes I do it, but I have to admit, sometimes I just plain do it grudgingly. Opportunity for great growth in the Lord and in the spiritual life, but, you know, this lack of real self-sacrifice, ooh, an ugly thing that you can see in yourself. I don't know about you, but I can see it in myself sometimes. Number seven, no scandal to others. Have you given scandal? Have you done something that could possibly give scandal? Are you living in a way right now that is scandalous and would really offend somebody's conscience? Number 8, forgiveness of injuries. How about that one? Forgiveness of injuries. Are you quick to forgive? You know, and if you're not, okay, so just admit, I'm not quick to forgive. I kind of like to hold on to a grudge for a while, you know. I really kind of stoke that flame of resentment and bitterness. You know, I know that I do that. But boy, am I justified in doing that. I have a right to do that, you know. If those thoughts ever go on in your mind, maybe the Lord's calling you up a little bit. He's calling you up short. Let's hear about it right here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us here today. Here's a question out there on YouTube from Dave. One's famous last word may be, I never did anything like that. Then the Holy Spirit will wallop you in the head, reminding you of the thing you have done. And you'll never say those words ever again. Would, Dave, that would be the case, that we would never say, I would never do anything like that. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit does show you something that you have done, and though it might not even be quite the same, and it could be scads different, the fact of the matter is you realize that you acted in a very horrendous way. And that is a great grace. I'm just telling you, Dave, that is a great grace, and my guess is that you've experienced that great grace, because that's when the Holy Spirit is illuminating our heart with regard perhaps to a sin that we've never confessed before. Now, we know that if we go in and we make a very good confession and we forget a sin, that the good confession, the intention of our heart to make a good confession, is enough. That sin is forgiven. But when the Holy Spirit brings that sin to mind, even if it happened many years ago and you've made umpteen good confessions in the intervening years, the fact of the matter is we have a responsibility and a duty to take that sin to confession and to repent of it. You see, the funny thing about sin is that it does break down the integrity of our humanity. It's sort of like an illness that we might get that makes us more susceptible to something else. My favorite illustration of this is scarlet fever. Thanks be to God, this is a disease that's been, for the most part, eradicated. Every once in a while, it rears its ugly head again. But for the most part, you know, it is not a pandemic kind of a thing anymore. but it would leave a child's heart weak, and the child would end up sometimes with you know, serious heart ailments. And sometimes a heart murmur, for example, is one thing that could occur as a result of that. So the disease is healed, you see. I mean, but the effect of that disease, the lingering weakness caused from it, can remain and can be a disability throughout the course of one's life. And so too with sin, you see. Sin can be forgiven, but the residual effect of that sin can leave a weakness in the soul. A weakness that can lead to other sins, or can even in some way, you know, dispose us towards that same illness again. We see that with regard to like pneumonia. We can get pneumonia and we can get over the pneumonia, but sometimes there's a weakness that exists then in the lungs to be predisposed to that same disease in the future. And so whenever the Holy Spirit is gracious enough, good enough, kind enough, loving enough, and whenever he knows it's the right time for us to be able to see this through the eyes of God, he will disclose to us perhaps a sin that we plumb forgot about. And we should take it to the sacrament as soon as we can. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know, I've made good confessions in these intervening years, but the Holy Spirit illuminated my heart and I remembered a sin that I'm not sure and or positive that I've never confessed before. And I want to bring this now to the sacrament. You know what'll happen, you see, is you'll grow stronger in that area and be less likely to be tempted in that direction, and maybe even not so much just tempted in that direction, but you know, you won't have a predisposition to commit sins that might be within that same family of sin. And so it's a very good thing, and I really thank you for that beautiful message. So, yeah, we ought never to point the finger and say, oh, I would never do something like that. You know, maybe you wouldn't. But better to say, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And to pray for that person. And to ask God's mercy on that person. And not to allow ourselves to grow resentful and bitter, but rather to be used by God as an instrument for the good. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live today. 833-288-3986 is the toll-free number right here in North America. We're looking forward to hearing from you. We are available for you out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, talking about the way in which we can grow closer to Christ, the way in which we can become more like him in the world today. Has God shown you anything recently? He's been very busy with me recently, I'll tell you that much. Looking forward to hearing from you right here on Women of Grace Live, reminding you to get on out there to check out our website, womenofgrace.com. Check out all of the good things that are there and available for you, including our Women of Grace exclusive subscribership program, where all of our archives open up for you right there at womenofgrace.com. Oh, yes, and of course, look up that good information on our upcoming retreat at Malvern Retreat House, just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, coming up July 13th through the 15th, preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar, beginning on the 12th, ending mid-afternoon on the 13th. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Here's today's quote from Mother Angelica's perpetual calendar. The depths of God can only be known to us when the Spirit reveals them to us. See, there are such treasures of the spiritual life. Mother's spiral-bound perpetual calendar features an inspirational message for each day of the year. It's available from the EWTN Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
When you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. This afternoon, 1 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just finished talking with Terry Beatley about her book, What If We've Been Wrong? Keeping My Promise to America's Abortion King, available through our religious catalog. Terry, tell us, what's this book about and why is it unique?
Well, this book is unique because I had the rare opportunity to meet and interview Dr. Bernard Nathanson. Dr. Nathanson was once known as America's Abortion King. He's the founder of NARAL Pro-Choice America, and he's the doctor who persuaded Planned Parenthood to get into the industry of abortion, and he trained their doctors. And then he became pro-life. And then ultimately in 1996, he became Catholic, and he's a modern-day Saul Paul story, and he's left what he called the keys to unlock this abortion monster that holds America captive.
The book is available through the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. Look for the whole interview coming soon here on Bookmark. And that was Terry Beatley, and I'm Doug Keck. Thanks for stopping by for our EWTN Bookmark Brief.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion, coming up this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Women of Grace with Johnette Benkovic-Williams.
Johnette is taking your phone calls, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Here's the number for you again. It is toll-free, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Toll-free for you right here in North America. Do want to remind you that the Holy Mass is tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, available for you right here on Catholic Radio. And we want to remind you, too, that we've got a brand new EWTN station. Welcomed to our radio family here, and that is FM 106.9 KOOV, Armor of God Radio, serving Kepner, Texas. How happy we are to have Armor of God Radio as part of the EWTN radio family. A special thanks to Tom and Anne Marie McNew, who have worked very hard to get Armor of God up there in the area of Kepner. And if you're out there listening, we want to invite you to call in today. We would love to give you a great big welcome and a great big howdy hey. So welcome to all of our new listeners listening to us on FM 106.9 KOOV, Armor of God Radio, serving Kepner, Texas, the newest member of the EWTN radio family. Isn't that good news? I get all excited when we get new stations on the air. It just means that the Word of God is going out further and further and further and further. All right, Facebook question here from Susan. How can I get our priest to help promote our rosary? A few of us pray every Sunday after the 8 a.m. Mass. It's a rosary for priests. Well, thinking that it's a rosary for priests, I should think that your priest would be excited to announce this. And I would ask him to do a couple of different things. How can you get him to do it? I don't know how you can get him to do it. But here's a couple of things you could ask for. One, you could ask for the opportunity to be displayed in your bulletin, to be printed in the bulletin so people know that you are praying that. Number two, and I think this would be quite effective, what if one of your number asked Father if he or she could address the congregation prior to Mass beginning at all of the different Sunday Masses? Just a few minutes would be all that it would take, probably no more than a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And you could simply just say, we just wanted to let you know that after the 8 a.m. Mass, we pray the rosary every Sunday for our priests. And we want to invite you to join us there. And, you know, sometimes people will even come early for the next Mass so that they can pray that rosary. So those are two suggestions for you. I hope that that helps you, Susan. I just want to say, I'm so happy that you're praying the rosary, and I'm so happy that you're praying the rosary for priests. We need to remember that all of us in this mystical body of Christ need prayer, and we need to support each other. And what a beautiful gesture this is. What a beautiful prayer you're praying. You know, I like to say that the rosary is, the greatest spiritual weapon that we have next to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the reception of the Eucharist. So I would really encourage you to keep up that holy and wonderful practice. We're looking forward to hearing from you here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. Now, somebody was asking out there on YouTube about this book, The Soul of Jesus, Contemplated in Union with Mary. I love that. Father Emil Neubert, very much a Mariologist. And so he says, you know, we look at these things, asking our mother to help us to see them more clearly. I do believe this book is out of print, but my guess is that if you go out there and you do a search for it, you're going to find it, you know, at one of the sellers that's available to you online. And it's a great little book. It really is. It's just quite inspirational. But it gives us St. Therese of Lisieux as a model for this. And oh my goodness, you know, he recounts the fact that her way of achieving these dispositions of our Lord Jesus Christ really came by way of her little way, wanting to do everything for Jesus, seeking that every act that she did would be an act of love for him, and that she would display love in it for him, no matter what it took and how much she had to renounce herself in order to do it. And he gives us a beautiful explanation of how she affected this. And he talked about the fact that, you know, with St. Therese of Lisieux, the purgative way, the illuminative way, and that way of union, all of those became just really one movement in her soul because of this beautiful spiritual practice. So, you know, and I have found, let me just say this, I have found that when a task is difficult for me to do, or I find myself doing it, but I'm really, you know, I'm not all about it. You know, I'm doing it grudgingly. I would rather be doing something else, you know, and my attitude of heart is not good. You know, when I feel very much like that elderly son in the parable of the prodigal son, you know, I'm the elderly son, I'm doing what he's supposed to be doing, but I'm not pleased about it, you know, not necessarily cheerful. Have you ever had a moment like that, you know? And we all, I think, suffer from these moments from time to time. We can get really down on ourselves. But I think a better thing to do is when you recognize that in yourself, say, you know, Mother, I just really don't have the charity of heart that I should have in doing this task. So I'm just going to ask you, please give me your charity of heart. You know, I don't have it on my own, but you know, St. Louis says you give us everything. So give me your charity of heart to do this with, and help me to act out of that charity, which is perfected charity, which is the perfect, perfect mirror image of the love of your Son. That is a good thing to do. So we want to invite you to consider that. I invite you to consider it. It really does help. You know, I find it helps. And I think that sometimes, you know, we think that we're supposed to get, you know, that the emotions are always going to match exactly, you know, what we're affecting through the will. Sometimes it takes a whole long time for those emotions to catch up, you know. But a speedy way to get there is through our Blessed Lady. That's one of the reasons why I appreciate St. Louis de Montfort so much and Father Emil Neubert, because they help to train us and they help for us to understand how we can make progress through our Blessed Lady in a more expedient fashion than we could ever do on our own. I like to say, you know, we get on our Mary movers, you know, we get on those little people movers, but it's really a Mary mover. It moves it. Our Blessed Lady shows up and she takes us there. She becomes the one that helps for us to be able to move quickly into ever deepening union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to solve the problems of the world on our own. It just isn't going to happen. We're only going to do it to the extent that we are willing to present the face of Jesus Christ to others. So, you know, maybe you've had an experience like that lately. 833-288-EWTN. Matt Gabensky will get you up here. We can talk about it. That's 833-288-3986. You know, I found in recent times that these opportunities are increasing in number. I think the need is so great that God is looking to each one of us to go to extraordinary means that we would never, ever think of going to on our own, to be able to be a witness to the truth. And that happens as much through our words as it does through our deeds, but it happens through our deeds, I think, in a more effective way sometimes than it happens through our words. I think of the beautiful statement that Pope Paul VI made, and he said, you know, he said, today people listen more to witnesses than they do to teachers. And they listen only to teachers to the extent that they are witnesses. So we can preach, right? And we should. We should use our mouths to proclaim the glory of the Lord. Sacred Scripture tells us so. But what people will really look at and what people will really hold on to is the witness that we offer. And sometimes that witness can be a witness that we're offering that we don't even realize is a testimony. Sometimes it's an impression that's made on persons for good or for ill, really, that speaks volumes. And oftentimes, you know, if we realize that we haven't given the best witness, and if we have the opportunity to make up for that, we ought to do so. You know, if we've given a poor witness to somebody, we should go back and try to repair that damage that we've done. We should seek a way in which we can begin to make an amend and to share. You know, I acted poorly in this situation, and I want to really apologize for that. You didn't deserve the bitter end of my anger or my hostility. And, you know, I pray that you'll forgive me for that. That goes a long way to repairing an injury. It goes a long way to putting a new face on an action that was ill-conceived. It goes a long way to helping to smooth a path that otherwise might have been filled with brambles and weeds that would have choked off someone's progress to the Lord. And, you know, I would really encourage you to think about that. Maybe even this morning, there was a bitter word that was exchanged. And after it was spoken, you knew they didn't deserve all that. You knew that you were wrong. Maybe you've even spent the morning trying to justify it. And maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, well, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to pick up the phone and make a call. It doesn't take a whole lot to send a text message. Maybe the Lord is offering you that opportunity right in that moment to act with humility and to grow in humility. Maybe in that moment, God is asking you to show an individual that, yeah, it is possible. It is possible to take something that starts off so wrong and through the grace of God to have it turn out so right. Let's go to Rita. She's calling us today from Howard, Ohio. St. Gabriel Radio is the way that she is with us. Good morning, Rita. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Love your show.
Thank you.
I've called in before.
Thank you.
I am 61 years old and seeking possible entrance into the Catholic Church.
Wonderful, Rita.
And so on quite the journey.
I'll bet.
Many of my friends think I'm crazy, but, you know, it's a journey that I know Jesus has me on. This is what I wanted to comment, and I guess it becomes a question.
Sure.
Not easy to say, and I hope I don't get emotional. I'm relating very much to what you said today. Everything, as you discussed the, I believe it was virtues. I'm like, oh wow, I need to change and allow Jesus to change in me every one of those. But this last weekend, especially, I think your message, what you're talking about, is timely for me because I think I've realized that I don't really feel like I've ever totally forgiven myself of something that happened 25 years ago. Mm. I thought I had, but I'm not sure. So as you talked about these virtues, and I'm realizing how much I need his help in changing all of them, you talked at one point about saying, I will never do this, I will never do that. And that was me. Probably at the beginning of my marriage in 1976, two times within 5 years, my husband left me and or cheated on me. Mm. We stayed together, which is what I wanted. He refused counseling all those times. And anyway, time passed until, gee, lo and behold, I did the same thing. It was horrendous. I have been So sorry. But my point is, yeah, I once said I would never, ever do that. And I did. So that's one thing I wanted to say. Gee, you know, it can happen. And I was what I thought, a good Protestant girl. The point I'm getting to is I felt like this even yesterday, that Jesus was possibly saying to me that unless I free myself, unless I accept his forgiveness, unless I forgive myself, I'm not free to be free and to fully love others and to all these things that you shared from the book. You know, when we're bound up in our own guilt and our own pain, it's hard to live in freedom and to get out of ourselves enough. So that's the place that I'm at. So any words of wisdom for you, from you, please?
Well, Rita, you know, first of all, I think you're in a beautiful moment. And these beautiful moments are often attended by pain, because whenever the Lord is working out a healing in us, you know, that wound of the heart, that suffering that we've endured, even if it's a suffering that we've brought on ourselves, is opened up again. And it's opened up because the Lord is saying, you've got to let me in here. You know, oftentimes, you know, we have these wounds and we deal with them in various ways. You know, I can look back to my earlier days and I can recollect so many times when I sinned against the Lord, and I can allow myself to wallow in that. But time and again, the Lord says, no, you know, we need further healing here. So what I think is happening in this moment is the Lord is offering you an opportunity for a deeper healing than you have acquired at this point in time. And he's so gentle, this Lord. He doesn't give us more than we can handle in that healing process at any given point in time. I'm very pleased that you said that, you know, what you've got to do is receive the Lord's forgiveness. And I understand the psychological terminology of we've got to forgive ourselves. But I find that really kind of like an illogical concept, because forgiveness is something that we offer to another. I don't know that we can offer forgiveness to ourselves. It's something that we receive. It isn't something that, and it's something that we offer to others, but can we offer it to ourselves? I don't necessarily think so. What we can do, however, is to receive that forgiveness that our Lord always gives us. And this is what is so healing. And when you come fully into the church and you experience this in the sacrament of reconciliation, I think that it's going to bring a new depth to your understanding of what that is. And not just your understanding, but the experiential reality of it. But Jesus is offering you this opportunity now. So we believe and we know in faith, and we see it because our Lord has said it. When we seek his forgiveness, when we humble ourselves before him, he comes and he enters there and he takes up residence in those very mucky places of our own being, and he begins a new work. He begins to restore us and to heal us and to renew us. And he brings us a measure of grace that we never could have realized had that very particular wound not taken place, whether it's self-inflicted or whether it's inflicted by others. And, you know, this is why some of the great saints cry out, oh, happy fault. This is what they're referring to. The fault, the sin, becomes happy because they taste the goodness of the Lord in his mercy in healing them. And I have found it very helpful in my own life that when one of these memories surface and we feel that remorse, and that's another thing I wanted to touch on, is the difference between guilt and remorse. There's a world of difference. The evil one will use guilt. He'll use a morbid guilt like a cudgel, you know, like a hammer that he'll wield against us, right? And he'll just keep cracking us over the head with it and cracking us over the head with it, and until we end up in self-condemnation. And you see in that, oh my God, that just makes the evil one so happy. He wants us to condemn ourselves. But then we remember, you know, what St. Paul says, you know, who's going to condemn me? Christ who has saved me, basically, you know, what? No. So as soon as we get into this cycle of condemnation, you know, that's the evil one. And he's coming, sneaking around with the putrid odor of morbid guilt. And that comes from the pit of hell. To be remorseful, on the other hand, is another matter. To be remorseful is a movement of the Holy Spirit where he illuminates an area of need within us, or perhaps an area of sin that we've never explored before, or he's taking us to this new place and we feel remorse again. And this remorse that we feel again is again this further opening of the wound of the heart so that more of Jesus can fit into that wound and continue this process of healing and restoration. So this is a good moment, you know, a word of encouragement and exhortation. This is a good moment. It's a moment when God is saying to you, Rita, let me in a little bit more deeply now so that I can do some of the deeper work that needs to be done here. And I think that one of the fruit that comes out of this kind of a situation is that beautiful fruit of empathy, where you can be of service to someone who has gone through a similar kind of a thing. And you can share with them the goodness of the Lord and the consolation that you've received from him. And rather than wallowing in it, then this becomes for us a new platform where we can step up, you know, where we can rise higher in Christ Jesus. The fact that you can say, I did that, you know, the fact that you can say, I pointed fingers and said I never would, and then I did. In and of itself is an exercise in precisely one of those dispositions of heart that we talked about that so marked our Lord and that Father Newbera says we need to imitate, and that is humility. And when we're humble before the Lord, he makes everything right. So you're in a very good place, and he is calling you from, you know, that beautiful passage, I think it comes from one of the Psalms, you know, it's deep calling to deep. He's taking you deeper. And he's doing a beautiful work in you right now. Gives me goosebumps to think about. Makes me so happy inside.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you know what? I'm gonna pray for you in a special way. I remember the call and you had said that you were in this process of considering conversion. Actually, I think you're in the process of conversion. I'm just gonna double up on my prayers for you.
Thank you so much.
I'm so eager for you to experience the fullness of the truth
God
wants you to know. God bless you, sweetie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, darling.
Thank you. You too.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
Yeah. You know, friends, you see, God works in all of these abundant ways, right? With the evil one intends for our misery, for our suffering, for our woe, for our death, God intends for great good. So whenever you feel this sense of self-condemnation, whenever you look and say, how could I have done that? Oh my goodness, I'm appalled at my behavior. Oh my goodness, you know, what was I thinking? Oh my goodness, you know, this must be the unforgivable sin. And that's when you say, oh no, 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 I've got to flip this coin over and look at the other side. The other side is this. The evil one wants to ruin me through self-condemnation, but God wants to lift me up in this moment and remind me that his mercy endureth forever, and that I will drink from that wellspring of living water. I will drink from the wellspring of salvation, and I will cry out to the Lord, thank you and praise you. Take that mercy that God offers you today. Allow it to be a force that moves you forward in him. Till we're together again, may God bless you richly. Pray for us. We're praying for you right here on EWTN Radio, Women of Grace Live. Closing out for the day. Bye-bye now.